The polyvagal theory on this edition of Truth and Love. I'm Dale Johnson, and you're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, where we seek to provide biblical solutions to the problems that people face. This week on the podcast, I have with me Kyle Gangle. He is the lead pastor at Southern Hills Bible Church in Custer, South Dakota. He and his wife, Elizabeth, have four boys. They enjoy hiking, fly fishing, and exploring the Black Hills. Kyle is a certified counselor with the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. He also serves as an adjunct professor of biblical counseling at Mission University in Springfield, Missouri. Kyle's the author of The Dysregulated Nervous System, a biblical evaluation of polyvagal theory. That's one of our critical evaluation booklet series, and I'm so delighted that Kyle wrote this, and I'm really looking forward to our conversation today. And a lot of people may not recognize what polyvagal is. Some people have heard of it. Maybe they Googled it on the internet at some point. But polyvagal is a very critical, even underlying thought in so much that we think about relative to trauma and education and social emotional learning and all these different ideas. It's sort of this underbelly way of thinking about humanity. And you've written this booklet on it, and now you're doing a podcast on this topic. And so we're seeing it popular in so many different areas. Kyle, talk about why write or do a podcast on a topic like the polyvagal theory.
Yeah, thanks, Dale, for having me. One of the things I'm thankful for is the booklet and even opportunities like this really flowed out of ministry in the local church. So as we think about polyvagal theory, and you mentioned it, it's growing in popularity. And it first kind of came across my attention because the school that my boys were at and my wife was teaching at wanted to begin to address things like learning loss, depression, anxiety, behavior problems in the classroom. They wanted to address those things, which I'm thankful they want to think about that. But their answer was to partner with a local psychologist and begin training students and teachers alike in polyvagal theory. And so they sent home this letter to the parents, and I'm thankful for that. But in the letter, they described what polyvagal theory is. And it said things like, our nervous systems are constantly and unconsciously evaluating whether we are safe or not. And then it went on to say, when our nervous systems feel unsafe, we act out or shut down. So the behavior problems in the classroom were the result of an unsafe feeling within the nervous system. We pull away or we run away or we are defiant when we feel unsafe. And then it really bluntly just said, our thoughts and behaviors come from the changing states of our nervous system. So I set out to understand it and read and write about it, really to help my wife, to help the other faculty and teachers that are members of the church that I'm privileged to pastor. And so I wanted to serve them well. And that's what really set me down this path of thinking about it, writing about it. And as I did, I realized just how popular it had become and influential it had become.
Yeah. So this is not just something that is left to the corridors of academia and is not utilized in a lot of different practical senses. And I appreciate the way that you're describing this. Like, your passion was not like, hey, I'm going to go chase down all the skeletons in the closet of this, dysregulated nervous concept, right? This is actually coming out of legitimate ministry. Your heart as a pastor is to say, you know what? My people are having to address this. They're living with this as their kids are in the school system, or maybe there are teachers in my church who are having to address this concept that's now coming across their desk. And how do I help them to think biblically? And that's really what, you know, we want to do. So, and I think that's what you've done in the booklet itself. And I would encourage you guys to get a copy, because when you read what Kyle's written, you'll begin to see how, man, this theory is actually proposed in lots of different places, just like you mentioned with the school here. But let's start by defining what we're talking about here, the polyvagal theory. And as you define it, I'm sure people will start recognizing some of the ways that it's utilized, you know, out in the popular culture. So give us a definition, and how do we understand this?
Yeah, the word polyvagal, it really is the prefix poly, which means many, and the root word vagus, which means wandering, which is a reference to our human vagus nerve that runs from our lower brainstem and kind of branches out or wanders about the body, connecting various organs, you know, from our digestive system to our heart, to our lungs. And what polyvagal theory tries to do then is understand human behavior and seek to explain human behavior by emphasizing the centrality of that vagus nerve as it pertains to whether we feel safe or not. So, you know, kind of teasing off that and the letter that, you know, the quotes I read earlier, our nervous system is unconsciously evaluating whether we are safe or not, which causes various parts of our body to respond to these evaluations. And then those are then driving our thoughts, emotions, communications, and behavior. And so when you think about polyvagal theory, you'll hear these three different states talked about. And there's a state of relaxation. This is where you want to be. This is sometimes called, like, you'll hear people say, you know, I'm well regulated, or my child is regulated. This is where you feel safe, and you can then, they would say, engage others. And really their goal would just be socially beneficial behavior. And this is really the main contribution of polyvagal theory, is the sense of this relaxed state that was, you know, they would tie to evolution, that 500 million years ago, mammals developed this ability to engage with others socially. But if you sense some kind of danger, then you move into this mobilized state. And this is not new to polyvagal theory, but you hear people talk about fight or flight. And this would be a sense of being dysregulated. That's the term you'll hear in the popular culture. This is, again, being in an elevated state, on high alert. And then again, the problem is they want to apply this to moral behavior and say things like, well, here you're more likely to yell at others or be defiant or grow angry because you're going to fight the danger that you feel, or you're going to run away from the danger that you feel. And if you stay in that state too long, then you just shut down. This is a state of immobilization, they'll call it. This is the highest state of dysregulation. Sometimes they'll call it the fainting or freezing response. And this would look like sluggishness and an unwillingness to take care of your responsibilities, depression, things like that. And so they're saying you're constantly shifting. And there's a hierarchy to these things. You start out feeling safe, then you move to fight or flight, then you move to immobilization. In fact, I heard one counselor who utilized this theory say since you have to shift down from immobilization to mobilization, he said he wants his depressed counselees to become anxious because that's moving one step closer to feeling safe. As I thought about how to illustrate this, and when I talk about polyvagal theory, I really want to define it and think about it first in ways that those who believe it would affirm my definition, that I'm not being unfair in what I'm describing. So as I thought about how to illustrate this, I thought about, you know, driving a standard transmission, you know, Honda Civic in maybe downtown Dallas. We're here in Fort Worth, but downtown Dallas, and something crazy is happening. You hear gunshots or something. What would you do? You would downshift into a lower gear to just get out of there. But if in your mind, you never realized that you were safe and you just continue to drive 90 miles an hour in second gear, you would eventually blow up that engine. And so that's how I think about how polyvagal theory seeks to explain this sort of downshift into this fight or flight response. And if you stay there too long, then you just give up and you play dead or you freeze. And so in the most charitable way I can think about it, adherents of polyvagal theory, they want to help people drive in the right gear. That's their goal.
Now, what's interesting, Kyle, is this theory in and of itself has already been scientifically debunked. The guy who actually created the concept of the theory just thought it would be a helpful conceptual guide. He understood that there was not really a scientific basis. He hoped that there would be one discovered at some point. But you talk about polyvagal and people are like, I don't know that I've ever heard of something like that. You start using the language of dysregulated nervous system and people are like, oh, like I've read something about that, or I've heard something about that. And you start talking about regulated emotions. Now, I think I've heard a lot more about that. And we start recognizing how prevalent maybe what polyvagal represents, how popular it is in our culture. So talk a little bit about recognizing the language of polyvagal really in the popular culture and how it's a part of the air that we breathe, particularly in Western society and specifically in America.
Certainly, yeah. Even if you don't recognize that term polyvagal, I think you will recognize, as you said, the terms dysregulated, regulated. you know, and actually it's all over social media. You know, the hashtag Polyvago is all over TikTok. I've found that it's all over teacher training. You know, I've had both people who agree with me and disagree with me sending me stuff that their schools are implementing. I had one friend who disagrees with what I was saying and said they've been teaching this for years and years and years. I even saw an ad for vagus nerve yoga that promised to integrate neuroscience, psychology, and yoga practices. So Christians aren't the only ones tempted to integrate here, I guess. One really practical example of this is I was at a car dealer the other day getting my wife's car worked on, and I wasn't trying to overhear this conversation, but I was hearing a man explain to his boss why he was late for work. And he was saying, "I'm sorry, my son got dysregulated this morning." And he said, "And we found that letting him play video games is a way for him to regulate." And I was telling a friend this story, and he said, "It sounds like the child has learned to regulate his father." And so he probably couldn't identify the term polyvagal, but he's speaking its language. And he had learned it. He was telling his boss through the Connected Parent app, and he was learning all these things about regulation and dysregulation. And so you see it everywhere. Even you mentioned in applications of trauma, and Vanderkolk in The Body Keeps a Score, he appreciates polyvagal theory and says it even brought a coherence to his understanding of the body and trauma. So if you begin to pay attention, you will hear people speaking the language of polyvagal theory.
Yeah, it's much more common than I think many people realize, and you expanding sort of that semantic range of how people are utilizing the theory itself in more popular language, I think will be helpful, and people will certainly start to recognize it more. Now, I mentioned earlier, even the founder, Stephen Porges, in his descriptions, and they recognize that it's been scientifically questioned, its credibility, that it's not been demonstrated, but the theory still is very, very prevalent, as you talked about, popularly. So talk about some of the shortcomings of polyvagal, specifically in the light of scripture, because that's really important to us. So there are definitely shortcomings scientifically, but talk about it in terms of the scripture as well.
As you mentioned, there are lots of non-Christian psychiatrists and psychologists who are critiquing this theory, but we're certainly more interested in what the scriptures say. And as I think about the scriptures, I think of something like James 3, 14 and 15 that says, "If you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic." And one of the things I say in our church often, even to our young people, is one of the ways you can test what you're hearing is, does this play to my selfish ambition? Or does this play to my selfish desire? And as you think about something like polyvagal theory, trying to pin thoughts and behaviors on essentially wrong circuits firing at wrong times and problems in the evolutionary process that we just haven't overcome yet. Maybe in 500 million years, we can overcome these things. But you can see how that just plays to our selfish ambition. It plays to the flesh. It's earthly. It lacks. It's devoid of the Spirit of God. So as I think about some of the shortcomings of polyvagal theory, I think about their goal for change and their pathway to change is just so inferior to what God's word says. You know, they're calling you to just be aware of the state that you exist in and then seek to regulate that through some kind of physical technique, often punching a pillow while saying what you're frustrated about, tapping different parts of your face with your hands just to try to stimulate the vagus nerve. You know, that guy I mentioned at the Volkswagen dealer, he said, "If I could just train my kid to, when he smells the scent of vanilla, to regulate himself." So these physical techniques, a purely materialistic problem requires a materialistic solution, and that's all they have to offer. Another thing you'll hear a lot is this idea of co-regulation, which is being around others who are well-regulated, and your nervous system will kind of map onto theirs. And so as I think about scripture, I'm just thankful for the way the Bible talks about both the inner man and the outer man. We're not denying the reality and complexity of our nervous system, even our ability to perceive danger and respond quickly. I mean, to run away from a criminal or a grizzly bear is a, you know, we would join King David in saying we are fearfully and wonderfully made. But as it comes to the source of our desires and our actions, I mean, Jesus was just so clear in Matthew 15, 18, and 19. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. And if you listen to enough polyvagal theory podcasts like I have, you will hear everything on that list attributed to unsafe feelings of the nervous system. So the Bible's teaching on the heart is just so clear, and it gives us a ton of hope for change. You know, Craig Troxell in his book on the heart, he says, as goes the heart, so goes the man. And according to polyvagal theory, it is as goes the nervous system, so goes the man. And so we just have so much hope in Scripture for change, because God is in the business of changing hearts through the Word of God.
Man, I appreciate the way you just contrasted that concept, because biblically, that's exactly right. What Craig Troxell is describing is demonstrating the Proverbs. As a man reckons in his heart, or as he understands or calculates in his heart, so is he. It's a statement of ontology, a statement of the nature of who we are. It expresses who we are. It's not our nervous system. Our nervous system's important, yes, but they're describing it as something that's controlling. Kyle, you've been really helpful to help us think about this. And I want to encourage you pastors to be like Kyle, in that when these types of issues arise within your church, engage them. Start asking the question. You didn't have a settled opinion about polyvagal when that letter came to you, but you said, you know what? I'm gonna think biblically about this. I'm gonna use it as a backdrop to go research, find out what the research actually says. That's such a healthy posture. And let's take a biblical viewpoint in evaluating what this thing actually says. And you've demonstrated some of those shortcomings, its incompatibility with the way the Scripture describes who we are and how we operate, what comes out of us. You mentioned Craig Troxell's book, With All Your Heart. We're going to put that in the show notes. I think you'll find that is one of the better books, biblically exegeting and describing the heart itself. And then your particular resource, a ACBC booklet on the dysregulated nervous system, a biblical evaluation of polyvagal theory, where Kyle goes into much more detail, describing the theory itself and then having a biblical viewpoint on it. Kyle, thanks for your work. I'm grateful that your pastoral work has been an encouragement to many now through this booklet, and it will be through the podcast. So, brother, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me, and thank you for your ministry at ACBC.
You're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of ACBC. I want to remind all of you who are members of ACBC that we have a webinar coming up in just a few days, Thursday, March the 26th at 6:30 Central Time. We will have our spring quarterly Equip and Engage webinar with Dr. Keith Evans on the topic of counseling and extra-biblical methods. This is a free resource for our members that also counts toward your CEU requirements. So if you're a member and have not already signed up, please do so. If you have any questions about signing up, please feel free to send an email to info@biblicalcounseling.com. And if you want to find out more about this webinar or the other webinars and the many resources that we have, please visit us at biblicalcounseling.com.